good to see you this morning. Good to have you with us. Visitors are always welcome and encouraged to return and be with us often, if not always. As was mentioned in the announcements this morning, next Sunday morning, our contribution will be dedicated to the relief of some members of a congregation in Florida that suffered great loss because of the hurricane. Several of those families literally lost their complete house. The only thing that's there is the property. Not only did they lose their house, but they lost their means of employment because their business where they worked at was totally destroyed. So in the immediate term, this congregation now and many congregations throughout the country are sending relief to them. And so if you find it in your heart to give a little bit extra in your contribution next week, it would be greatly appreciated and put to good use. The fifth Sunday. I'm sorry. Okay. The fifth Sunday. I knew that. I was just thinking that next Sunday was the fifth Sunday. See, I'm trying to hurry things ahead because of I want my throat to get better. And it is slowly getting better, but it's a frustrating ordeal. But we'll just be patient. That's why they call them patients, I guess. Although I haven't seen the doctor yet, but looking forward to my voice getting back to full strength and being able to emphasize the way I like to emphasize and to make the points that need to be made. Dale made a comment in his prayer this morning. We have one of two masters that we can choose to serve, either Satan or God. And the story of mankind's interaction with God, sadly, for the most part, is a story of men always choosing to listen to Satan rather than listen to God, all the way back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. Eve believed the lies of Satan. She knew the truth of God's word. But she believed the lies of Satan and acted upon them. And as a result of that, became spiritually separated from God. And Adam as well, when he also ate of the forbidden fruit. We've been studying in our adult Bible study from the book of Judges. And we are beginning to see that the history of Israel, after they inhabited the promised land, was that they didn't obey God in completely casting out the inhabitants of the land. And the result of that is that they became familiar with those people. And the more familiar they became with them, then the more acceptable of them they became, and the more they listened to what they were saying rather than what God was saying. Sadly, that's exactly what's going on and has went on, but it's currently going on today. God, of course, in His Word, tells us to come out from among them, be separate. And yet we participate in the things of our society, of our world, things that are sinful, that God declares to be sinful, yet because we see other people practicing it, and because maybe we have a relationship with them, we're familiar with them, and maybe we have judged, well, they're not really such bad people anyway, and maybe it's not so bad to do, and so many people are doing these things, and we begin to listen to Satan rather than listen to God. He's very deceptive. And yet God's word remains true. I want to share with you a passage this morning Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." I want to focus upon that first statement there this morning primarily, although we're going to look at everything that's said in these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart, not some of your heart, not most of your heart, but all of your heart. The only trust that is beneficial is when it is with all of our heart. Consider these passages. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If we listen to what God says, we believe what God says, we even trust what God says, but then we say, well, maybe this is okay too. We are unstable. We are to trust in the Lord our God with all of our heart. Notice also James chapter 4 and verse 8. "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Double-minded. Unstable. Purify your hearts. Let it be singularly set in trusting one, always. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. A metaphor of if you realize that your hands are dirty, what do? You wash them, usually. You wash them. You want them to be clean. And, of course, the meaning here is that we are to, when we recognize sin in our life, when we recognize that we've accepted sin in our life and that it's acceptable to us, that we need to recognize that we are sinners and cleanse our way. And so if we want to draw near to God, God who is holy, God who is pure, if we want to be near to Him, then we must be pure. We must be holy as He is holy, pure as He is pure. That's what He has called us to. Draw near to God. Trust Him with all of your heart. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said it this way, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." In this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, he's been talking about the fact that he realizes that we are concerned about many things, that we're troubled about what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear and where are we going to live and just the maintenance of physical life. We're concerned about that. And so many times we find ourselves compromising the will of God to gratify these physical needs. Jesus summarized it here when he said, "Prioritize the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You put God first, you put seeking righteousness first, you put trusting the Lord your God with all your heart first, and he says, "I'll add the rest of it to you. I'll add to you. You need a job, God will get you a job. If you need whatever you need, whatever you're concerned about, God will take care of that. Trust Him." That's not going to magically appear. You're going to have to go out and work for that, but you're going to do it in a godly way, in the way that demonstrates that you indeed trust God with all of your heart. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says it this way, "Sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts." It's the same thing. Set Him apart as holy. Prioritize Him. Trust Him with all your heart. If you're going to commit your heart to one thing, then commit it to trusting God and His Word. And finally, in this list that we're presenting here this morning in regards to the benefits of God and what He has for us is found by trusting Him with all of our heart. Colossians 3 in the first three verses says, if you then are raised with Christ, if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you've laid to rest the man of sin and have risen to walk in newness of life with Christ, Romans chapter 6. If you have been risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For the past few Sundays, we've been talking about repentance, and we've been talking about serving God. We've been talking about the fact that when we repent, we turn away from our sin, and we turn to righteousness, and we serve righteousness. That's the point that's being made here. You died. The things that you craved in a carnal fashion, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you made the decision to put that to death. You made the decision to trust the Lord in His Word and to practice His will in your life and to let His will become your will. That's the decision that you made when you decided to put your man of sin to death and rise to walk in newness of life. When we talk about putting the man of sin to death, we're just talking about being separated from our sin. It's a complete separation. It's a total break. It's, I don't want to sin at all anymore. I want to serve Christ in righteousness. And so we set our mind on things above. That doesn't mean that we are always thinking about heaven. It means that we are thinking about the things that God from heaven has revealed to us, that He teaches us how to live in this life, that we're not going to live this life the way the carnal man lives it, but we're going to live this life according to the divine nature that God has revealed to us in His Word. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we cannot trust in ourselves. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Isn't that the mistake that the Israelites made when they came into the promised land and failed to cast out all of the people? You know, some of, we're going to see as we go through Judges that there are going to be some of the people that are going to come and say, please don't destroy us. We'll serve you. We're not going to cause any trouble to you. And the Israelites said, well, maybe be okay. And they let those people live. And the result is that in just a generation or two, they're beginning to give their daughters in marriage and take their daughters in marriage. And all of that familiarity led eventually to the practice of those tribes of Israel practicing the idolatry of the land that they had come into. There's a way that seems right. That sounds right. It's not so bad. We become familiar with the norms of our society by listening to the songs that we listen to, watching the TV shows and the movies that we watch, intermingling with those that do not revere God and keep His commandments. Their priority is different than ours is to be. And we begin to define down the expectations of God for us and what should be our expectations of ourselves. And we start thinking that we can trust in what seems right to us rather than trusting in what the Lord has revealed to us in His Word. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The grace of God has appeared to all men. The grace of God's salvation has appeared to all men. Nearly everyone is familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever trusts and obeys him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone is familiar with that grace of God, that he gave his only Son. But God expects us to respond to his grace. Just Jesus dying on the cross makes a pathway of salvation for us, but it does not ensure your salvation until you decide to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And you decide to live soberly, seriously, righteously, and godly in this present age. To live godly in this present age means that you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you're going to do what God teaches you to do. And the practice of doing his will is going to be a demonstration of godliness, that you're trusting him more than you're trusting yourself or the norms of society. And don't we live in a dangerous time today when the norms of society have become anything but normal? People are trying to get us to accept a new normal. Not just financially or governmentally, but just in the way that we think of ourselves and think of the planet and everything else. Grace has appeared. When God told the children of Israel to go in and to take those lands and so forth, he says, I have given them to you. That was a statement of grace. But still, they had to take it. When God told Joshua to take the city of Jericho, he says, I've given you the city. But they had to march around the city 7 days. And on the seventh day, march around it 7 times and blow the trumpets and then go in and actually conquer the people. There was work to do. So the grace of God that brings salvation requires us to do two things: to deny ourselves and to practice the things that God teaches us to do, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12, it said this way: He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Does that mean always? Can you ever speak deceit? Is there ever a time that you can speak evil and still be right with God and serving righteousness? Shake your heads this way. No. But do we deceive ourselves into thinking that sometimes it's okay? Yeah, I'm afraid sometimes we do. Say, well, I see other people doing that. Do you see God doing that? Do you see Christ doing that? Are you following them or are you following Christ? Let him turn away from evil and do good. It's not just enough to turn away from evil. It's not just enough to stop practicing sin. You have to replace that by doing good, by trusting the Lord and doing what he teaches us to do. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Not turmoil, not drama. Seek peace and pursue peace. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. So we dare not compromise the things that God teaches us to do. We must faithfully serve Him. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we must acknowledge His way. Notice there in verse 6, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's something to meditate on. When you find yourself doing something that you think, I wonder, should I be doing it? If this is not good, I don't really want God to know that I'm doing this. Stop doing it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge that you are trusting Him with all of your heart. And he says, if you do that, He will direct your paths. Psalm 25 in the first five verses says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I'm not keeping it for myself. I'm lifting my soul up to you, to serve you. My life is now yours, to live to your praise, to your glory. O my God, I trust you. You think he was saying that? I trust you with most of my heart? No, he was saying, I trust you with all of my heart. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Another word for waits there in that context. Let he who trusts in you not be ashamed. You will not be. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Why turn away from the Lord and His teaching to lead you in paths of righteousness? Why would you do that and practice that which is treacherous? I made a comment to someone yesterday. I said, you know, life would be a whole lot more peaceful and happy if everybody would just do what God teaches us to do. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait. I will trust. I will do your will all the day. I lift up my soul to you. Trust in the Lord then. Trust in the Lord. You can trust Him. You can trust His promises. You can trust His word. You can trust this plan of salvation that He has for us. His love for us that moved Him to graciously offer His Son as a sacrifice in death for our sin, that we might turn to Him as we turn away from ourselves and follow Him, confess Him openly, that we live for Him all the days of our life, that we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we rise to walk in newness of life. As Ananias told Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. When are you saved? Are we saved because God loves us? Yes, we're saved because God loves us. Are we saved because of the grace of God? Yes, we're saved because of the grace of God. But we're not saved until we trust Him and obey Him. The point of salvation very clearly is outlined for us in the New Testament by the words of Jesus and the apostles, that we're not saved until we obey Him in baptism. That it's there that we put the man of sin to death. It's there that we rise to walk in newness of life with Him. It's there, as Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. Your sins are not remitted until you are baptized for the remission of your sins in the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ. There are many who teach that you are saved and then you should be baptized. That's not what the New Testament teaches. And to teach that is to teach a lie. and deceives people into a false sense of spiritual security. We call upon you today, if you're here today and you are outside of Christ, we call upon you to trust the Lord, trust His Word, and do what He teaches from His Word. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. It's in baptism that your sins are remitted, that your sins are washed away. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn to Him partially. Don't get stuck in that turn. Make it a complete turn to Christ with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, this is what I believe and this is what I've been taught and this is what I think and this is what I feel. Don't do that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean, trust in the Word of God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's what you want. You want the Lord to direct your paths. It's a pathway of righteousness. It's a straight and narrow way that leads to life that only few find. But you can find it, and you can walk in it. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 38 and verse 3, we find Hezekiah pleading with God. He says, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth, and with a loyal heart have done what is good in your sight." May we all be able to make Hezekiah's words our words. In all of our ways, in all of our actions, in all of our deeds, in all of our words, that we have done what is good in the sight of God. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ and you wish to be joined with Him and be in fellowship with Him, have your sins washed away, walk in newness of life with Him, everything is prepared. And if you've prepared your heart to serve Him, we encourage you to come forward this morning. Let us assist you in your obedience to Christ in baptism. If you're here today and you are a child of God, but you realize you're outside of His favor because you've compromised your life and His will, you haven't trusted fully with all of your heart, you need to now make that commitment with all of your heart to serve Him. Let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing this song.